Now, though, we're moving on to something completely different. COVID-19, swine flu, rabies. They're all viruses that have made the leap from the animal world to humans. But why do only some diseases that animals suffer from also affect us, and how can we protect ourselves? And I'm joined now in the studio by Dr. Nicola Fletcher, a vet and virologist from UCD who studies in this very area. You're very welcome, Nicola. It's nice to see you again. And some of these viruses, they do move from the animal kingdom to humans. We don't all catch the viruses, though, do we, that animals will suffer from?
No, we don't. There's lots of diseases that animals suffer from that never cross over to humans, but some of them do. And it really just depends on the disease and what species it's able to infect. So actually, most viruses that we catch did come from animals at one stage, which not many people know, I think.
So does it depend on the virus then?
Very much so, absolutely. So, you know, if we take COVID-19 as an example, we know that it came from animals to humans and then can also cross back into animals again.
If you have COVID-19, your dog can get it in your house.
Well, cats can actually get it and become infected, and they can actually transmit COVID-19 to other cats as well. So there are other species as well. You know, we saw zoo animals, some of the large cats in the zoos caught COVID probably from humans who were infected and looking after them.
So is it just cats when it comes to domestic animals? Is it just cats that have shown symptoms of COVID?
Cats are one of the main ones because they're one of obviously the most popular pet species, but hamsters, ferrets, other animals like that can also be infected. And indeed, we use them to study the virus and understand more about it.
Okay, let's talk about HIV, because that's one that we're still dealing with throughout the world. So explain to us where HIV came from.
So HIV, it's part of a family of viruses, retroviruses. They are a really interesting group of viruses. But most of the HIVs, and indeed the one that was responsible for the worldwide pandemic, came from primates. So HIV-1, which is the one that causes AIDS that we all know about, came from a chimpanzee. But then there were at least six other jumps from animals to humans from different species. And why they didn't take off and, you know, run rampant through the world is not really understood.
Because we all travel so much now. I mean, these things, once they take off in the human population, it's everywhere. And we saw that most recently with COVID.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's no doubt that what we do today and the way we live our lives allows these viruses to get around. You know, you can go to, for example, somewhere in Africa, the Congo, for example, catch a virus, get on a plane the next day, go to London, New York, Dublin, wherever, and spread it around. So it's really great for the viruses, but not so good for us, I suppose.
Monkeypox then is another virus that we're talking about a lot lately, but it has existed for a long time.
It has. Well, it was first discovered in the 50s, where it was discovered in a monkey population in Denmark, and that's where it got the name. But actually since then, it's not really the correct name, because lots of other species can transmit to humans and amongst themselves. So rodents, prairie dogs and other species.
So it is not a monkeypox anymore, but that's the unfortunate name that it has.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's related to smallpox, isn't it?
It is related to smallpox. And luckily, we have a vaccine against smallpox, which is effective against monkeypox. That's brilliant. And then the other thing is that most people recover quite well without treatment. So, you know, those are all good things.
Mm-hmm. But interesting, though, the news that emerged about that vaccine just towards the end of last week, that a very small amount of it transdermally will work in the same way as deep into the muscle. That was good news, wasn't it?
Excellent news, because it means we can vaccinate more people.
Now, COVID we're still dealing with here. We're just talking to our school principals there who are concerned about what might happen in the new school term. There were conspiracy theories about where it originated from, you know, what happened in the beginning in China. But from your point of view, what do we know about COVID? You mentioned that it came from the animal population, but just talk us through the facts as they have been established now.
Yeah, absolutely. So the current understanding is that it probably came from a bat, because we've found viruses that are very similar to SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19, in bats. But SARS-1, which emerged in 2002-2003, also came from a bat. But in that case, it was actually quite lucky that we found out that from the bat, it transferred to an animal called a civet cat, and from there transmitted to humans. And we haven't figured that out yet for COVID-19. Is there another animal that the bat infected that then jumped into humans, or did it go from bats directly to humans? I think there are still a lot of questions and some we may never answer.
Can I ask you about bats? They carry viruses and yet they don't show symptoms. Do we know why?
We do. Bats are actually amazing animals. They're mammals that fly, which is quite rare in the animal kingdom. And because of the fact that they fly, and they also have very long lives compared to other mammals that size, they have really active immune systems. So they're able to carry these viruses, but they don't get sick themselves, but they obviously can transmit to other animals, including humans.
Mm-hmm. So perhaps we can learn from their immune systems.
That's it. Yeah, absolutely. So maybe people are studying this special immune system that bats seem to have, because if we can figure out why they're so good at keeping viruses at bay, maybe we can use that to develop therapies for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Do you have to ingest the bat? This is really gross, but ingest the bat in order to pick up those viruses that they may be carrying?
No, definitely not. Just coming in contact with them. You know, some of them are so small that if they bite you, people don't even notice. There are many ways. It's really just close contact. But, you know, rabies would be one that would be a concern. We don't have it here. But if you go to a country where there is rabies and you think you might have been in contact with a bat or you notice you've been bitten, it's so important to go and get help, because there are treatments that can be given early on that will prevent the spread of the disease.
We've done a really good job keeping rabies out, given what we've just been discussing about travel and so on. It's amazing that rabies hasn't become more widespread.
It really is. And I suppose the bat species that we have here, they carry similar viruses, but not rabies itself. So, you know, if the reservoir species doesn't carry it, that makes it easier to keep it out. Mm-hmm. But like most people in the world now get infected with rabies from dog bites. So there's some really brilliant initiatives now where people are going into rabies infected areas and trying to vaccinate the entire dog population in that area. And it's actually been really successful in some countries at eliminating rabies from those countries.
So if you are in that unfortunate position where you're overseas and you've been bitten by a dog, it's really important to take action very quickly.
So important. Absolutely. Yeah. Get yourself medical help immediately.
Can you tell me a little bit about rabies? What it is and what it does?
Yeah, so rabies is a Lyssa virus. There's lots of different Lyssa viruses in the world, but it infects mammals through bites. You know, in the US, there are other animals, raccoons and things that can bite people and cause rabies. What it does then is it gets into the nerves in where the bite has happened, and it makes its way up to the brain, where it takes a while for that to happen, which is why there's a window that you can receive help. But once it gets into the brain, you get all those symptoms that we've heard about, foaming at the mouth and really terrible symptoms.
And there's no way back once it reaches the brain?
No way back. Once the disease has really taken hold, there's no way back.
You studied rabies, is that right, in the past?
I did, yes. I used to work in the UK and studied rabies and other important viral diseases.
And were you vaccinated against rabies then in order to carry out that work?
I was, absolutely, yeah. You have to get 3 vaccines to be fully vaccinated against rabies. And you can get it if you're going into a rabies infected area for a long period of time, or if you're going to do something that puts you at increased risk, like vaccinating dogs in areas.
Mm-hmm. And again, incredibly important if you've been exposed to seek treatment really quickly. You were involved, and we spoke about this before on the programme, in testing sewage to see how prevalent COVID was around the country. Is that work continuing now?
Yeah, we're still testing 68 wastewater treatment plants every week in Ireland for COVID-19. So we're probably one of the only real surveillance programmes that's still going on in Ireland.
What are you seeing? So you see the waning and the increasing as we go through these periods and waves.
Yeah, we saw the recent wave. There was an increase in COVID in the wastewater then. So, you know, it is still operating as our early warning system for spikes in COVID. But we're looking at other things now. We're looking at monkeypox. We're looking for polio. Polio was recently just seen in the wastewater in the UK. So we're sort of doing active surveillance for other diseases as well as COVID now.
Mm-hmm.
which just shows, I suppose, how valuable this surveillance system is.
Concern I know growing in the UK when it comes to polio, and there were vaccinations being offered to certain populations who are considered to be at risk. Do we have any sense of why that's happening right now?
Well, it was really because in some parts of the world where people are given a live polio vaccine, and then that can find its way into wastewater of countries if the person travels. But then it means it's really important to keep taking your polio vaccine. You know, get your kids vaccinated, because if it does get into the wastewater and start circulating here, it's just so important that you're vaccinated against it. It'll protect you.
OK, we'll leave it there. It's fascinating. Dr. Nicola Fletcher, vet and virologist from UCD. Thanks very much, Nicola, for coming into us once again. In the headlines, the Irish Hospital Consultants Association had said it could take 15 years to clear the backlog of deferred care, including waiting lists built up during the COVID-19 pandemic. And that's all we have time for today. Today's programme was produced by Rachel Graham, research by Amy Ryan. Louise Kerr-Ross was our broadcast coordinator, and Pather Carney was on sound. Over now to Ronan Collins.